welcome to Routines and Ruts, the podcast about the stumbles we make in our days. I'm your host, Madeline Dorr, and it's a delight to be back for season three. If you missed the trailer, a quick recap, this season will be an advice podcast. After writing my very first book, I Didn't Do the Thing Today, which is now available to pre-order, I'm ultimately less plagued by productivity guilt, or this idea that my worth is tethered to what I do or what people see me do. And by no means does this mean I've figured that out completely, but in the weeks approaching the book release, I really wanted to share what has helped and offer some informal productivity guilt therapy-ish. So in response to your existential and productivity quandaries, I'll be dishing up counterintuitive lessons to help you in this messy, imperfect, and wonderful thing that is figuring out what works for us. It's also important to note that I'm not actually a therapist or a licensed mental health practitioner by any means. I'm making it up as I go along and perhaps just sharing what I wish someone would tell me. So my simple hope is that there's something to find amongst these musings that I'll share with you, and I encourage you to cherry pick what resonates. I'll pop a link in the show notes to where you can submit a question of your very own. And now I'm really excited to dive into the very first quandary, which is a question filled with questions. So I hope that there's a question in there that might speak to a question that you have. On to the question. Dear Madeline, I feel I'm constantly in the midst of an existential crisis when it comes to my career and life, and plagued by questions. For starters, how do I know I'm any good at writing? And how do I know what my real purpose and calling in life is? And how does writing tie into this? And how do I know where to start? This last one is mostly because it feels like there's a lot of stuff that interests me and I don't know how to narrow it down. I also have this conflict between wanting to write and be authentic, but also afraid for others to read it. How do I deal with this? Sorry, this is a lot. I just love your work and feel your curiosity in everything you write, which inspires me, as I also consider myself incredibly curious and wanting to know what really drives people, what kinds of struggles they have, what their inner lives are like. So thank you for asking the questions you do and for writing in such a way that people can really connect. Now, dear listener, I want to start by thanking you for your very kind words about my work. It's very lovely and a little on the self-indulgent side to read out in this first podcast, but I wanted to do so because I think it's really important, because within your compliment, I think there is an answer to your own quandary. So I'll circle back to that in a moment. But first, I really wanted to take a closer look at your questions and a common theme among them. All of them, I notice, contain how. How do I know if I'm any good at writing? How do I know what my real purpose is? How do I know if this ties into writing? How do I know where to start? How do I know how to deal with this idea between wanting to be authentic but also afraid of what other people might think? How? And it's interesting with how, because how is really tempting. How is where we look for certainty, but how is also impossible, because we never actually know how something will come to be or how to do something before we do it. And this is why I think how is actually a really dangerous question, because we're looking for answers that don't exist yet, which means we'll never actually be ready, because we'll never get that answer that will satisfy us in order to start. So how enables us to keep postponing our lives until we find an answer that never arrives? So within a how, I think there's always hesitation. So every time I find myself asking how, which is often, I have come to see it as a symptom of my own stuckness. So how do I build my career? How do I find love? How do I ever shape the life that I want? They're so big and amorphous and impossible that they actually become redundant, because something as big as your entire career or the path to finding love or shaping your life and your life purpose can't actually be figured out by asking how. These things come to us often as delightful surprises. We can't actually plan for the most exciting parts of our career. They unfold as we're in that career. Similarly with finding love, it's something that we stumble upon. We can be open to these things and we can be open to experimenting and put ourselves in circumstances that broaden our scope for opportunities, but we don't actually know how things will unfold until they unfold. So asking how keeps us stuck, and it also ignores the fact that the future is uncertain, and so we never actually know how, but we're trying to secure certainty. So instead of asking how, which puts us into this uncertain future and too far ahead, I think it's about focusing on the step in front of us. It's a bit like fog. I remember going for a morning walk with a friend and she was pointing out how there was so much fog across the river and how she really enjoys fog because it just means that you can only look at that patch in front of you. So there's this beautiful, mystical, foggy future that we don't quite know what's there, but we can see this little patch in front of us and we can step into this little patch, maybe not if it's a river, but we can actually be endeared by the fog and intrigued by it and curious about it, which is something I want to circle back to soon. So I think the antidote here is to focus on the step in front of us, break down the big unknown, put the how aside and find one action that you can do, one thing you can step into. Reading The Artist's Way, I know that something that really resonated is when Julia Cameron says, when you figure out what you want, the how takes care of itself. So I think that's another antidote there, is that it's not about asking how will these things work themselves out, but what is it that you want? And so if we go back to your questions about how do I know if I'm any good at writing, it's do you want to write? Is there a want there? How do I know what my real purpose and calling in life is? Well, what do you want? How do I know where to start? Well, where do you want to start? It's a nice little flip, I think, there. So instead of asking how and being stuck because it's impossible to know how and you'll be perpetually searching for an answer that doesn't exist and getting lost in the fog, find the action point, find the patch that you can see, crystallize what it is that you do want, and then trust that. Trust that the fog will lift and you'll see more and more steps in front of you as you go along. So that's my first dose of advice. But because this is an advice podcast and by nature most questions will contain how, I will attempt to answer them. So the first, how do you know if you're any good at writing? How to know. I'm a writer who's just finished writing a book that publishers believed would be well written enough to be published. And I still don't think I've landed in this certain point where I think that my writing is good enough. I'm going to keep saying writing here, but I think that this applies to any creative endeavors, but also any human endeavors, relationships, exercise, communicating. So writing is a catch-all for human experience here. And I don't think we land at a place where we are certain that we are good enough or what we do is good enough. I don't think you land on a point where you know objectively that you're a good writer, but you keep writing and you enjoy what you write and you write for you or you write for one reader. And I think some of the best writers are still plagued with self-doubt and don't think that they're any good. So I keep a quote by the choreographer and dancer Martha Graham above my desk as a constant reminder that I will never know if I'm good, but also that it doesn't matter. She says that it is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable, nor how it compares with other expressions. All you need to do is the work that interests you. So put this question of if it's any good aside and come back to this idea of what is it that you want? Because what interests you, what you want, becomes the measure. That's the step that we can see in front of us. What's lit up for us is what interests us. And that's all that matters. Not whether it's good, not whether someone else thinks it's good, not whether it's better than somebody else's expression. It's whether it interests you. And so coming back to that one reader, I find it really powerful for that one reader to be myself, because then I know that I'm really tapped into this idea of what interests me. So I hope that that gives some food for thought. Your second question, number two, how do I know what my real purpose and calling in life is? And how does writing tie into this? How do I know what my real purpose and calling in life is? I think you stumble into it, so you don't know how you know. It's a slow build. I think that there's a lot of pressure in society to expect us to find and seize and fulfill a purpose. But I think it's far more realistic that we just remain open to the idea and be okay with not really knowing what our purpose is and being ready to create it along the way. I think that that is how we all stumble upon it. One of my favorite books is by the writer Marianne Milner, and it's called A Life of One's Own, and it chronicles a 7-year experiment in the search for happiness and contentment. And I love the way that Marianne writes about this idea of purpose and this idea that there's such pressure in society to find our purpose. So as Marianne writes, I had been continually exhorted to define my purpose in life, but I was now beginning to doubt whether life might not be too complex a thing to be kept within the bounds of a single formulated purpose, whether it would not burst its way out, or if the purpose were too strong, perhaps grow distorted like an oak whose trunk has been encircled with an iron band. So, in a way, knowing what our real purpose is can be really constraining and constricting and can actually limit our potential, which I say with slight hesitation, because potential is another thing like purpose, which there can be a lot of pressure to fulfill. But I think that having a set purpose can be, again, a lot like the restrictions in how, or the impossibilities in how. But at the same time, purpose can give us direction, much like goals can give us direction, but we do need to be careful or watchful of when they become narrowing or enclosing or limit us to opportunities rather than expand us to them. And so again, returning to Marianne's writing, she says, I began to have an idea of my life, not as the slow shaping of achievement to fit my preconceived purposes, but as the gradual discovery and growth of a purpose which I did not know. And so that goes back to this idea of we don't actually know what our real purpose is. And in fact, doing away with this idea of purpose can be more expanding for us. But we can slowly, step by step, shape it for ourselves. I think we create our purpose as we go along. And this circles back beautifully to this idea of being enchanted by the fog. So be okay with walking in the fog for a little bit, with just focusing on this little patch that you can see that does interest you, and patch by patch is how you can discover something truly purposeful in this life or truly enhancing of who you are. I think that's what I have to say about purpose. And then the latter part of your question about how does writing tie into it, again, that's what you're experimenting with. That's maybe writing is just what's in this small patch for now, and you can see whether it fits. And maybe we never get to a point in our lives where all the fog has lifted and we are now certain of our purpose. I think we keep reshaping. I think we keep rediscovering. We keep enhancing what it is that interests us and discovering along the way. And so your third question was, how do I know where to start? And perhaps like all of my answers so far, this might sound vague and amorphous, but perhaps the truth of it is that you can start anywhere and with anything. Again, just this patch in front of you. Pick one small question, one small interest, and trust that it belongs to a larger whole that you can continue to expand and evolve. For me, that was very much people's routines. More than half a decade ago, I started with one question that interested me. What do people do all day? What do people's days look like? And I started by posing that question to friends and then friends of friends and people I admired and created the project Extraordinary Routines. From that, one little patch grew so many other things, experiments with my own day, musings on the topic, this podcast, my new book, I Didn't Do the Thing Today. All of that came from this really small question, and I had no idea at the time where it would lead, what would be revealed when the fog was lifted. But that's the most exciting part. It's grown in ways I wouldn't have been able to plan for. I wouldn't have been able to detail on a question of how. And that is what's enriching about it. It's the surprises. So to return back to this idea of your answer being in your own question, if we had all the perfect answers to our hows, we still might not move. So this is what I mean by at the heart of the how is hesitation. We're using how as an excuse not to move. I don't want to start yet because I don't know how, or I can't start until I determine whether my writing is good, but your writing won't get good until you start. So we become sort of stifled by the how. And at the heart of this hesitation that we find in the how is fear. And so that's why I think it's really a beautiful thing to return to this little gem of a compliment that you shared, because actually what's there is the antidote to this fear, the antidote to this hesitation. And I'm reminded of a quote from James Stevens, who says that curiosity will conquer fear even more than bravery will. And so in your question, you admire my curiosity, but you also describe yourself as very curious. We often admire in others what we contain in ourselves, or reverse, we often find ourselves bemoaning a trait of someone else's that we also contain. That's a little head twister that I'm still grappling with myself. But you describe yourself as curious and you want to know about the lives of others, what drives people, what struggles they have. You want to know about their inner lives. That's where you start. That is the answer. That curiosity that you have is the answer to all of your questions, all of your how. Curiosity is the antidote to the hesitation of how, to the fear of how. And so that's where you start, with what you're curious about, with what interests you. That's how you find your calling, by being, or your purpose, by being curious about the patch in front of you. And that's how you might even deal with this conflict between wanting to write and be authentic but afraid for others to read it, because it's really just about exploring your own curiosity. And it doesn't matter what other people think or whether it's any good if you're following your curiosity. So to sum up, asking how is impossible and stalling and stifling. It's hesitation and fear. So the antidote is to figure out what you want, and the how will take care of itself. Do not ask if you are any good. You will never know. And even if you are really good, it's not your job to know. Your job is to figure out what you want and a way to do it. Purpose is not pre-decided. It's built. We create it as we go. It's like walking around in the fog and allowing that fog to lift, and it's an act of discovery. And when it comes to starting, start anywhere. Start with what interests you or what you want. And finally, let curiosity be the antidote to the hesitation of how. Thank you for listening to this episode of Routines and Ruts. If you'd like more of my thoughts on navigating the stumbles of productivity guilt, and even this idea of asking how and how that keeps us stifled, it's a really great idea to pre-order my book. The chapters delve even further into this idea of the pressure and expectations that we have in our lives and how they'll pan out. So I think you'll get a lot from it. You'll find a link in the show notes, along with a link to where you can ask questions that can be considered for an upcoming episode of this podcast. Talk soon. And until then, remember, as Agnes DeMille said, living is a form of not being sure, not knowing what next or how. The moment you know how, you begin to die a little. The artist never entirely knows. We guess, we may be wrong, but we keep taking leap after leap in the dark.